The failure of drug war is glaringly obvious to judges, cops, wardens, prosecutors, and millions more now calling for decriminalization, legalization, the end of prohibition. Let us investigate the Century of Lies.
Hello, and welcome to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. This year marks the 65th annual session of the United Nations Commission on Narcotic Drugs. It runs from March 14th through 18th in Vienna, Austria. We start off today's show with audio from the CND's opening session. Here's Winnie Bianima, Director of UNAIDS.
Distinguished members of the Commission, member states, civil society networks, and people who use drugs, UN agencies, and all colleagues, I thank very much my sister Garda Wali for your strong leadership of the UN Office on Drugs and Crime and your unequivocal support for the United Nations Common Position on Drug Policy. I'd like to begin by expressing my solidarity with the people of Ukraine who have suffered so much violence and injustice. For the last 15 years, Ukraine has had one of the largest and most successful HIV responses in Europe. Now the entire HIV response is collapsing and the lives of hundreds of thousands of Ukrainians living with HIV and the key groups that are at risk of HIV are hanging by a thread. I call on all partners to work to restore essential services for people living with and affected by HIV in Ukraine. Last June, member states adopted the 2021 political declaration on ending AIDS at the United Nations. The resolution contains bold commitments, including new targets for 2025, to bring the response back on track in order to end AIDS by 2030. Last year, UNAIDS worked with all countries and partners to develop and adopt the Global AIDS Strategy. The golden thread of this strategy is on ending inequalities in an epidemic where 65% of all new infections are within particular groups of people at risk and their sexual partners. And these include people who use drugs and prison inmates. We know that if we continue as we are, if we do not close the inequalities in the HIV response, the world could see 7.7 million AIDS deaths over the next 10 years. The global HIV response, which was already off track before COVID-19 hit, is now under even greater strain as the COVID crisis continues. And people who use drugs and prisoners continue being among the most affected. Globally, harm reduction services are not available at the scale and level required to end AIDS. And that's true in communities or in prisons. In too many countries, these services are not available at all. Without continued access to HIV and harm reduction services, we will not end AIDS among people who use drugs and prison inmates, and will therefore not end AIDS at all. The key barriers to accessing HIV and harm reduction services for people who use drugs and prisoners are criminalization, stigma, and discrimination. We will not end inequalities and end AIDS without addressing these barriers and removing punitive laws and policies. In particular, women who use drugs face legal, policy, and social barriers to accessing life-saving HIV and harm reduction services. We need to invest in non-judgmental harm reduction services tailored to the needs of women too. We have an ongoing funding crisis for harm reduction, in low and middle income countries, governments and donors have invested just 5% of the funds needed for an effective response. We need to scale up investment now with a focus on funding for community-led responses. They are the most effective. Members of the Commission, I believe in your strong leadership. We must value the health and human rights of every person who uses drugs and the dignity of every prisoner. We must implement our commitments to create enabling legal environments. We must promote and scale up harm reduction as a safe and effective approach essential to end AIDS. And we must remove punitive and discriminatory laws and policies. These include laws that criminalize drug use and possession, as set out in our new global AIDS strategy. Our work to end the inequalities that drive AIDS must be based on the science, evidence, and on human rights. I urge you, commissioners, to uphold these principles to get us back on track to end AIDS by 2030. Thank you all for your attention.
That was Winnie Byanyima, Executive Director of UNAIDS. She was addressing the UN's Commission on Narcotic Drugs at the opening of its 65th annual session in Vienna, Austria, on Monday, March 14th. Now let's hear from Jamie Bridge, Chief Operating Officer of the International Drug Policy Consortium and Chair of the Vienna NGO Committee.
Our mission is to support, promote, and protect the engagement of civil society in international drug policy discussions. We currently have around 350 members from 94 countries, but we strive to represent the thousands and thousands of NGOs who are working across all issues related to drugs around the world. As such, we stand in solidarity with our friends and colleagues facing humanitarian crises, violence, repression, hostility, and war. We stand in awe of the bravery and commitment of those NGOs on the ground, still delivering drug services, health services, and support to the people who need them most, and also those independently documenting and monitoring the situations as they unfold. It is at times like these that the paramount importance of civil society comes to the fore, and I salute them all. For all but a handful of NGO colleagues who are lucky enough to be here in Vienna, this CND will be another online meeting. Yet once again, civil society engagement remains a strength of the Commission's programme and something that it should be immensely proud of. There are hundreds of NGOs participating in this year's meeting, and more than 70 side events on offer this week are either led or co-sponsored by civil society. This includes an event tomorrow morning, led by the Vienna Committee, to present a new Asia-Pacific civil society common position on drugs, after extensive consultations with partners across the region. I urge all member states to make the most of the expertise, resources, perspectives, and inputs that we are offering this week. I would also like to thank the Chair, the Bureau, and the Secretariat for facilitating and protecting civil society access once again, as well as thanking UNODC, especially the Civil Society Unit, for their ongoing support and collaboration. On behalf of the committee, I wish you all a productive CND, and we remain here to assist in any way that we can. Thank you for your kind attention.
That was Jamie Bridge, COO of the International Drug Policy Consortium and chair of the Vienna NGO Committee. We'll have more in a moment. You're listening to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. There are some amazing side events organized each year at the CND, tremendously important content. One that took place on Monday, March 14th, was entitled Ending Inequalities for People Who Use Drugs, How the Global HIV Response Can Transform Drug Policy and Vice Versa. Let's hear from one of the speakers. This is Galina Kornienko, program manager with the organization Ukraine Network of Women Who Use Drugs.
I have my helper, my translator, and I will speak Ukrainian, and she will translate it. Okay, dear friends and partners, I have the honor to speak today on behalf of two national networks of people who use drugs in Ukraine. Is Ukrainian network people who use drugs, Volna, and the Ukrainian network women who use drugs, UNWUD. The leaders of these networks, Tatiana Lebedь and Oleg Dymaretsky, are currently in Ukraine, and I cannot say that they are safe now. But I will try to convey the joint position of the two organizations, Dali Ukrainskoye. Будь-яка криза завжди показує найвразливіші місця будь-якої системи. Чи може бути криза страшніша, ніж війна і стан невизначеності, який виникає при цьому?
Any crisis always shows the most vulnerable spots of any system. Could the crisis be worse than a war and the state of uncertainty that arises with it?
Багато років в Україні будували сталу систему профілактики та лікування ВІЛ. Багато років чоловіки та жінки спільноти людей, які вживають наркотики, працювали над тим, щоб доступ до послуг був рівним, щоб зменшувати рівень стигми та дискримінації.
For many years, Ukraine has been building a sustainable system of HIV prevention and treatment. For many years, men and women from the community of people using drugs have been working to ensure equal access to services, to reduce stigma and discrimination.
Але ця найстрашніша для нас криза, ця війна, ця підступна агресія проти мирних мешканців, яку розв'язала Росія проти України, це показало, що ми робили недостатньо.
But this horrible crisis, this war that Russia has waged against Ukraine, this insidious aggression against civilians, has shown that we have not done enough.
Ми разом працювали над впливом на державні політики. Ми мобілізували та посилювали спільноту. Ми працювали над розробкою гендерно-чутливих послуг. Якби не війна, ми б зараз розповідали про нашу важку, але послідовну працю з адвокації.
We worked together to influence public policies. We mobilized and strengthened the community. We worked on the development of gender-sensitive services. If it weren't for the war, we would now be talking about our hard but consistent advocacy work.
Але криміналізація наркоспоживачів все зводила на нівець. Саме криміналізація наразі є важливою перепоною для безпечного переміщення людей з небезпечних регіонів. Бо люди побоюються, що не зможуть отримувати послуги замісної терапії або АРТ в місцях, куди пропонується евакуація.
But the criminalization of people using drugs nullified everything. Criminalization is currently one of the biggest obstacles to the safe movement of people from dangerous areas. As people fear that they will not be able to receive OST or RT services at places they might be evacuated to.
На окупованих територіях отримання лікування припиняється. Альтернативні кабінети видачі замісної терапії, так зване платне ЗПТ, закрилися. В багатьох аптеках неможливо купити препарати за рецептами, бо нарушена логістика і препарати не доставляють, або через те, що аптеки зачиняються і просто не надають послуги.
In the occupied territories, medical treatment is suspended. Alternative medical offices that provided OST, the so-called paid OST, are closed. In many pharmacies, it is impossible to buy prescription drugs because the logistics were destroyed and drugs are not delivered, or because pharmacies are closed and simply do not provide services.
Більше того, ми маємо посилення рівня стигми та дискримінації щодо людей, які вживають наркотики. Стигма та дискримінація під час коронавірусної кризи були першим сигналом про те, що державні системи охорони здоров'я та соціальної допомоги не працюють під час кризи. І про те, що ми робимо недостатньо для того, щоб захистити людей від позорного сортування на нормальних та ненормальних.
Moreover, we have observed the growth of stigma and discrimination against people who use drugs. Stigma and discrimination during the coronavirus crisis were the first signs that public health and social care systems do not work during the crisis and that we were not doing enough to protect people from the disgraceful sorting into categories of normal and not normal people.
Ми закликаємо всіх, хто працює над глобальною відповіддю на ВІЛ, звернути увагу на те, що без потужних рішень щодо декриміналізації наркотспоживачів люди будуть постійно в ситуації небезпеки, а кожна криза вбиватиме їх фізично через неможливість дістатися до медичної допомоги, через те, що соціальні послуги надаватимуться їм в останній момент лише через їх діагноз.
We urge everyone working on the global HIV response to know that without strong solutions to decriminalize people using drugs, people will be in constant danger, and every crisis will kill them physically because of the inability to access medical care, because social services will be provided to them at the last minute only because of their diagnosis.
And if we say that human rights are valuable to us, let's show it by action, because appeals do not work now. Thank you.
That was Galina Kornienko, program manager with the NGO Ukraine Network of Women Who Use Drugs. Now here's Adisha Taslim, advocacy officer for the International Network of People Who Use Drugs.
Hi, everyone. And I also wanted to just extend my appreciation to Galina for sharing your stories and also to be with us here today. So it is actually for the first time in the history of the global politics of HIV, the world has recognized and acknowledged and agreed on the role of societal enablers, including targets and commitments to decriminalize people who use drugs and the possession of drugs. And the process leading to this adoption of the Global AIDS Strategy and Political Declaration came a long way through different processes. A three-year target-setting exercise started in 2018, in which input and other global key population networks and other community experts were also part of it, which led to the set of the 10-10-10, the 80-60-30, and also increase in harm reduction targets. Global key population networks and other community experts were also brought together to establish definitions of key population and community-led network and organizations, as well as key population and community-led responses, which are now used in the global AIDS strategy, as well as we are advocating the Global Fund and PEPFAR to adopt and use the same definitions, and also to demand for no more lip service on the long-promised funding for key population. Additionally, we also conducted a global consultation involving people who use drugs around the world, which later was submitted to the Global AIDS Strategy Development Team. Input was also a member of the multi-stakeholder task force co-convened by Aid Funds and GNP Plus, and ensuring the voices of people who use drugs were included in statements and position, as well as in lobbying member states during the negotiation of the 2021 political declaration. And this, however, has not been without any pushback. It has been very clear that there were conflicting views among the UN member states on equality and human rights and in the inclusion of key populations, particularly people who use drugs. And it was also for the first time in the history of UN high-level meetings, a resolution was adopted by voting at the request of the Russian Federation. This display further raises the alarm for the community of people who use drugs around the world on systematic efforts to push back against our community, particularly on issues related to human rights, harm reduction, and law reform, which ultimately undermine the global efforts to end AIDS by 2030. As a way forward, we realize translating these targets and commitments into actions remain a major challenge. Without a collective movement in advocacy to push the government and other international partners for their accountability in achieving these targets, everything will stay and remain on paper. Worldwide, only 6 countries have decriminalized drug use and possession. Although more countries are claiming to shift towards decriminalization, the so-called law reforms have only shifted towards administrative flows and penalties that continue to mandate coercion and punitive practices, targeting at highly marginalized people who use drugs, who are homeless and or spend time in public spaces as they are more visible to police. These include the use of high fines, removal of child custody, compulsory rehabilitation centers, to say the least. services for people who use drugs, including harm reduction, social protection, and other social services continue to stigmatize and disempower people who use drugs, justified by pathologization of drug use, seeing a person who uses drugs as someone who lacks the ability to make decisions for their lives, and that services are often not designed to the diverse needs of people, women, and young people who use drugs, by affirming abstinence as the only indicator of success. Currently, funding for key population programs remain extremely low at only 2%. To achieve the global targets and commitments, resources must be directed to key population. We'll also require governments and other international partners to stop with tokenism, and that programs for people who use drugs must be designed, implemented, and monitored by, with, and for people who use drugs. Input is providing technical assistance to build the capacity of people who use drugs, improve our knowledge, develop our advocacy skills, and empower us through drug user-led responses and advocacy to monitor progress of the 10-10-10 and the 80-60-30 targets, as well as to hold the government and other international partners accountable. Input has also published community-friendly technical briefs on the global AIDS strategy and political declaration, translating them into actions in language that is relevant to community at grassroots level. This will empower drug user-led networks to play a central role in efforts to achieve the 10-10-10 and 80-60-30 targets by advocating for policy change, take action to reduce violence, stigma, and discrimination, monitor and respond to human rights violation, and promote community solidarity and resilience. In the context of growing political conservatism, anti-rights political agenda, and systematic efforts to exclude key population, it is time to unite our forces and to reclaim our rights. We call for the government, UN agencies, and other development partners, as well as donors, to recognize people who use drugs as invaluable resources that possess unique knowledge, skills, and perspectives that are fundamental for shaping better policies and programs designed to meet the diverse needs of people, women, and young people who use drugs. Today, we call for full protection of rights and solidarity to people who use drugs living in hostile environment, where people who use drugs continue to receive inhumane treatment, such as in Afghanistan, and to people who use drugs in any parts of the world whose voices continue to be silenced and whose rights remain violated. Today, we stand in solidarity with our brothers and sisters living in conflict environments, such as in Ukraine. We stand with Ukraine. Thank you.
That was Adisha Taslim, Advocacy Officer for the International Network of People Who Use Drugs, speaking at a side event entitled Ending Inequalities for People Who Use Drugs, How the Global HIV Response Can Transform Drug Policy and Vice Versa, which was held March 14th at the 65th Annual Session of the UN's Commission on Narcotic Drugs in Vienna, Austria. You're listening to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. Let's go back to the CND plenary session. The United States is my home nation. It's been a member of the CND and a leading influence in international drug policy for years. Ambassador Todd D. Robinson was sworn in as Assistant Secretary for the Bureau of International Narcotics and Law Enforcement Affairs of the U.S. State Department in September 2021, so this is his first time addressing a session of the CND. Let's hear what Ambassador Robinson had to say.
The threats we face are growing ever more pressing, and we need to address them through international cooperation within the framework of international law and the UN Charter. For decades, the UN Charter has stood as a bulwark to the worst impulses of empires and autocrats. Russia's unprovoked and unjustified attack on Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity is an attack on Ukraine as a UN member state, on our charter, and on the UN itself, including the Commission on Narcotic Drugs. Russia's choice for premeditated war is bringing catastrophic loss of life and human suffering. These actions contravene our commitments to protect the health and welfare of mankind, our single greatest purpose in the CND. Here, We speak together against those who believe they can violate the law for their own benefit. Criminals, corrupt actors, and drug traffickers. How can we continue to speak against these bad actors when one among us is operating with similar lawlessness? We have lost trust in Russia as a UN member state and CND member, and we will approach its participation in this and other UN bodies with serious skepticism. We must hold Russia accountable. In so doing, though, we cannot allow our critical work in the CND to be deterred. The United States is fully committed to safeguarding our future and advancing international cooperation to confront the unprecedented global synthetic drug crisis. As President Biden said in his State of the Union, addressing this epidemic and saving lives is a top priority. The Biden administration's approach outlined in its drug policy priorities includes a focus on primary prevention, harm reduction, evidence-based treatment, and recovery support, and calls for public-private collaboration to remove barriers to high-quality care, reduce stigma, and invest in evidence-based public health and public safety approaches. The United States is also advancing equity for communities of color and other marginalized and vulnerable populations in their access to health care, substance use prevention, harm reduction, treatment, and recovery support services, as well as in the justice system. Social factors can manifest in disparate access to care, differential treatment, and poorer healthcare outcomes. Thank you for joining us this afternoon for our side event on this issue. As laid out in the United States approach, public health-focused efforts must also be complemented by effective international cooperation and law enforcement measures to reduce illicit manufacture and the fentanyl precursors ANPP and NPP disappeared from illicit traffic after they were internationally controlled. Traffickers were forced to seek out alternatives. The United States requested the International Narcotics Control Board review three additional fentanyl precursor chemicals for international control under the UN Convention Against Illicit Traffic in Narcotic Drugs and Psychotropic Substances. We applaud the INCB for its review of these substances and its recommendation they be controlled within the international framework. We also need to take proactive measures to prevent the diversion of uncontrolled chemicals into illicit traffic. The U.S. resolution highlights such measures, which can help us outpace criminals contributing to the world drug problem. We look forward to discussing this text with you this week. Our success in addressing and countering the world drug problem depends on effective international cooperation, coordinated and advanced through the CND. We look forward to working with you all this week to make progress on these critical issues.
That was U.S. Ambassador Todd D. Robinson, Assistant Secretary for the U.S. State Department's Bureau of International Narcotics and Law Enforcement Affairs. He was addressing the 65th annual session of the U.N.'s Commission on Narcotic Drugs in Vienna, Austria, on Monday, March 14th. And for now, that's it. Thank you for joining us. This has been Century of Lies. I've been your host, Doug McVeigh. Find this edition of Century along with an archive of past shows at the Drug Truth Network website, drugtruth.net. We'll be back in a week with 30 more minutes of news and information about drug policy reform and the failed war on drugs. For now, this is Doug McVeigh saying so long. So long.
For the Drug Truth Network, this is Doug McVeigh asking you to examine our policy of drug prohibition, the Century of Lies. Drug Truth Network programs archived at the James A. Baker III Institute for Public Policy.